folks. We'll turn to number 154, hymn number 154, For God So Loved the World. We'll stand, yes, as we sing this opening chorus, followed by our welcome song. Shake hands with those around us and have visitors with us today.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back, what glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me.
Shake hands with those around you.
There's a welcome. Welcome, there's a Christian.
Remain standing, turn to number 442. Remain standing, we'll sing Praise Him, Praise Him. 442.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. My shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sin He suffered and bled and died. He our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Remain standing for prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you. We do praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for sending him down to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, that we could have our sins forgiven, have our sins covered, that we could have a home in heaven, that we could have a relationship with you, we could commune with you even now. Lord, we thank you for such a beautiful day outside. Lord, we pray that our hearts would shine just as brightly this morning as we sing these songs of praise and as we dig into your word. Lord, we ask for the families that are not able to be here. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them, strengthen them. We think of the Neufelds, Lord, down in the States right now. I just pray that you would be with them and give them safety and a good time, Lord. Lord, we pray for John and Margaret with John's hip. Lord, we just ask that you would give him healing after that surgery. And Lord, any others that would be here or can't, Lord, we just pray that you would be with them, give them a special blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
If you turn to number 287, Like a River Glorious, is God's Perfect Peace.
Service here this morning. Hope that each person receives a blessing from God's word. What a beautiful day it is out there, isn't it? It's so gorgeous. I don't know. I just love spring. It's my favorite season of the month or of the year. And I do love the fall as well. But there's always that premonition that winter's around the bend. And I love spring. Well, as far as announcements, we have a fellowship meal after the morning worship service. And I'd like to invite everyone to come and stay for that. And then this afternoon, we have our River Bend service at 3 p.m. And then this coming Thursday, we have our Bedford service at 7 p.m. And then we're looking forward to our ladies' tea coming up on May 1st at 6 p.m. And Mrs. Horton will be speaking. And she'll be speaking about her time in that Chinese prisoner of war camp during the Second World War. So I encourage you to come and listen if you're one of the ladies. And I think the men will probably be doing something like we usually do, get together at our place. Pouring concrete. Yes, there you go. and then on the 3rd, May 3rd, Pastor Horton will be preaching as well. June 28th, Pastor Guillaume Waugh from Quebec will be here preaching. And then July 5th, Evangelist Jacob Giesbrecht will be presenting Liberia. We've got a special birthday to saying happy birthday to Mrs. Petra Sinek, turned 85. And just wondering, are there any other birthdays that we need to sing happy birthday to? Okay, we're going to sing happy birthday to you, Mrs. Petra Sinek. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Oh, you're welcome. Are you welcome?
And the wife, family, and the children. And the second time, mama, and the daddy, and the Valerie, and the Steve, the whole family. Mm. God bless for everybody. Thank you very much. I'm spring chicken, 85 years old.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Mrs. Petra Sinek is a great neighbor, and we're so thankful to have her as a neighbor and as a friend. And God has certainly blessed her with good health. And we've got a big there's a big Black Forest cake downstairs in the fridge for the fellowship meal afterwards, a birthday cake. So hope everyone stays for that. Okay, well, I believe that's it for announcements. We'll ask Brother Mel to come this time, and we'll receive the offering. And we have a card here for Christy Davis. I believe this is a birthday card, if I'm not mistaken. I would ask if anyone would like to come sign. You could come sign. It'll either be here or at the back later.
Lord,
turn to hymn number 422. Hymn number 422, Anywhere with Jesus.
Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 5, and if you'd rise for the reading, please. Remain standing for prayer after. And Brother Kyle, would you lead us in prayer after, please? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Let us pray. Seated.
Number 291. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Powerful hand.
my strength and shield. Men, oh, still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Bear me through the swelling current, and miss it on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises,
everyone. Sure feels a little sparse with some of our big families missing this morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is the passage we looked at last week, and we started a series on the area of having patience. And again, we're each month looking at a different attribute of Christ so that we could be modeled after him, conformed to the image of Christ, not conformed to this world. And so we're looking at the whole area of putting on patience. And we see here in Romans chapter 5, as we read in verse 3 in particular, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Knowing that if we allow patience to be exercised in our life, if we pursue it, that it will manufacture other fruits in our life. Experience, hope, and a hope that maketh not ashamed. A hope that we won't be stood up. That the Lord will follow through on his promises to us. We looked at a definition of patience, one through the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, which focuses in on in this case here, the Greek word for patience, and it means cheerful, endurance, hopeful, constancy, continuance. The old 1828 dictionary definition from Webster's is, again, just a reminder, number one, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. Number two, a calm temper that bears evils without murmuring or discontent. Number three, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. Number four, perseverance, constancy in labor or exertion. Number five, the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. I mentioned last week the acronym that I came up with for patience, and that is P, peaceful. A, accepting. T, trusting. I, invested. E, for enduring. N, not hurried. C, content. And E, entire. And we looked at some of the different types of patience last week. Patient bearing fruit. And part of that patience is patience with ourselves when we are not exactly where we'd like to be, but we're still moving forward, and where we develop that patience with ourselves and with our progress, and just as long as we're still moving forward in our Christian walk and conquering and having victory over sin, that we will be settled within ourselves. But to having patience with others, and that can be some of the more difficult times when we've invested time and energy into someone's life and we think they should be progressing faster than they are, and where we have to say, okay, I'm gonna love them, I'm gonna always be there for them, and I'm going to assist them as I'm able to. We looked at patience during distress. We looked at Christ in particular in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Let's remind ourselves of those verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Patience has a lot to do with endurance. And we see here that Christ endured the cross in verse 2, despising the shame. What is that referring to? That's talking about when Christ went to the cross. All the things that he had to endure in his life as he led up to the cross, and then the day when he was betrayed, brought before the high priests, when he was mocked, spat upon, brought before Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. Pilate condemns him to die. And he endures the physical suffering that he went through on the cross, when he was scourged with that whip, when he had his beard pulled out, when he had the crown of thorns planted on his head, the shame that he went through, and the one of the biggest, bearing our sins as he bore them on the cross. The Bible says, "He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." Bearing our sins. A holy being, someone that was never had sinned, ever, carrying our sin so that he could pay for our sins, so that he could be our redeemer. And then, of course, the fact that the Father turned his back on him for those 3 hours on the cross. Because Father could not look on sin, the sin that Christ carried for us. And that's where we have Christ calling out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the land turning to darkness. But think about that, how Christ, and of course we just passed the Resurrection Sunday here, 2 Sundays ago. And we're so thankful for Christ going to the cross, dying for our sins, and even more so the fact that he rose again. Because if that's all he did was die on the cross, then he'd be no different than so many other people who have died, and even some that have died on crosses. But he rose again on the third day, which made him victorious over sin, made him victorious over death. I'm so thankful that when we think about the patience of Christ, both on the cross, but also the patience of God, and how he is long-suffering toward us, as the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. And of course, it's not something we should say, "Well, I'm so glad he's long-suffering because I'm going to hold out for a little bit longer," you know? And I've heard people say that before. I had an uncle that said that. And fortunately, I'm so thankful that he didn't wait. And that he repented of being a sinner, came to God and just said, and realized that he was undone, that he was on his way to hell. And then he put his trust in Jesus Christ, put his full confidence on Jesus Christ. You know, we're thankful for that long suffering, but we don't take advantage of it, because none of us are guaranteed any time in this life. Any one of us could go today. So patient during distress, we looked at the distress of Christ, but we also, as believers, we are told to endure hardness. Endure. Again, that's the essence of patience, is endurance. We looked at the area of patient for our glorification, in the sense of getting our glorified body. Having a body that is no longer under the constraints of this sinful body, that doesn't have aches and pains, as when we are raptured to be with the Lord. We looked at the fact that patience is to be fueled by the Word of God. Person wonders, well, how do we get patience? Well, we get into God's Word, and that teaches us. It's fueled by the Word of God. And we're going to look at some specific areas, whether it be today or tomorrow, or next Sunday. We'll look at some specific areas on how to get patience. You know, a person might say, well, it's all fine and dandy. We know we're supposed to get patience, but how? Well, let's take a look at the next point here, and that is patience as essential to unity. Let's take a look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Patience as essential to unity. We'll read verses 4 through 7. We know that the Lord wants unity within a local body of believers. And it's not a unity that's based on compromise, where we say, okay, well, let's ditch doctrine. But it's a matter of where we learn to ditch our pride, ditch our ego, and learn to place each other's interests ahead of our own, as the scripture says, to prefer one another. In Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." There was the key verse we were looking at last week for our patience being fueled by the Word of God. Then verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." And we notice there that this power comes through God, comes from Him, that He grants us to be like-minded. Verse 6, "That ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." One of God's purposes is that we would be patient with each other, that we would endure long suffering, that we would allow ourselves to be defrauded, as we read in another place, where, you know what, if we're passed over, not a big deal. If someone doesn't like the dessert we made, you know, on a fellowship meal, no big deal. Whatever the case, we lay aside our ego, and we seek for unity. We seek to have this common bond, and we think about one of the abominations that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6. There's six things listed here that God hates, and then he says, "Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And we'll jump right down to verse 19, 6:19 of Proverbs. "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." God hates that. And you notice that he doesn't say he hates discord. He even says he hates that person. "He that soweth discord among the brethren." So, patience is essential to unity, where we're patient with people. I mean, sometimes there are people that you don't have to be patient with, because they are so kind. They're the kind of person that maybe they're advanced in their spiritual walk or whatever, and you don't have to have long suffering towards them, because they're really more of a model as a Christian ought to be. But then there are those ones that you know, you might struggle with. Maybe you've got a personality sort of a challenge, and where you have to say, I'm gonna practice long suffering. I'm gonna be patient with this person. Next point is that we're to have patience finding God's will. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to dip into Romans chapter 12 every now and again today, and particularly this evening or this afternoon, as we start a new chapter in Romans chapter 12. So we're looking at verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To prove his will. And you can compare that to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 and also verse 17. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 and verse 17. Verse 10 says, and have no... proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When you think about, what does it mean to prove? It means to try. It means to test it. You think of David when he said to Saul, and Saul said, well, before you go off to fight Goliath, put on my armor. Saul, and David puts his armor on, and he's like, I haven't proved this. I've never used this armor. This might be more of a hindrance to me. I'm going to leave it aside. And of course, we know the story. He left it, and he went as a simple shepherd, which of course angered Goliath. He was irritated that a shepherd would come after him with a staff. But the point being there that we, just like David said, I haven't proved this armor. I haven't tested it. I haven't tried it. We are to prove, we're to test, we're to try God's will. We're to say, okay, God, is this your will for me? You know, I've seen too many Christians that have jumped ahead of God in certain areas. My dad, when he was preaching during the Sunday school, he talked about when he jumped ahead of God and ended up doing a whole circle and came back to the same place. He was seeking direction, and finally was able to get into a good church where he was able to get into God's word and get that stability that he needed. But there are too many Christians that hop, skip, and jump all over the place. And they're impatient at finding God's will. They're like, well, I want to know it now. Of course, we all want to know God's will now. Who doesn't want to know what his will is for our life? I don't know. Maybe some of you enjoy the waiting. I get impatient, and it's not a good thing. That's not a good characteristic. I want to know, is this God's will? And that's where we have to prove it. We have to try it. We have to test it. Say, okay, Lord, is this your will? And we got to be careful that we don't manufacture up evidences. You know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, I was going down the street and looked up and there was a sign and something on the sign said, hey, you know, that indicated that was God's will for me. And God doesn't deal in that sort of way. We get into God's word and we get verses that might speak to us. He speaks to us in one of the biggest ways, giving us peace about a certain thing. And if we still are still fighting if there's an unsettledness in our chest about a certain decision, then we ought not to make that decision. But when God gives us peace, then we pursue that. I recently had someone tell me that they were making a major decision, and that they thought about it and prayed about it the evening before, and God gave them peace. And you know, I told that individual, I said, you know what, that's a major decision. When I've had to make major decisions like that, I've taken weeks, sometimes even months, to find God's will on that matter, because I want to be sure of it. I want to know for sure, not just an evening. I prayed about it and God gave me peace. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is so easy to deceive ourselves and say, well, I like that, or I don't like that, or I want to go there, I want to take that job, our heart can deceive us, and where we have to seek his will, we have to prove what the will of the Lord is for us. You know, Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that verse, these two verses both apply also to the area of salvation, because our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. And our heart likes to tell us, well, you're a good person. You'll get to heaven by being a good person. And we know that the scripture says that we won't. We won't get to heaven by being a good person. We won't get to heaven by keeping the golden rule. We won't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. Because we can't keep them. That it's only when we repent of being a sinner, put our faith in Jesus Christ, put our complete trust in him as the one that paid the penalty for our sins, then we have forgiveness of sins. We have a home in heaven. But our heart is deceitful. So we have to prove what is the will of God. We don't jump ahead of him. We take the time and we are patient as we seek his will. There's also the area of touched on it a little briefly already, being patient with people. I think of children. You know, when particularly those of us that are raising children, that have children in our home. Or it could be a Sunday school teacher. You know, could it be anyone that is in contact with children? We got to be patient with them. Sometimes it seems like the neurons just don't quite meet. And you'll tell a child something, and they'll do a little shake, and they'll just go right back and do it again. And I had just a couple weeks ago, you know, Caleb was jumping up on the coffee table, and I don't believe he was doing it in disobedience. Like, there was no defiance there. Just get back on the and I get down off the coffee table, you know. And then it gets back up on it, and it could be easy to become frustrated. It could be easy to become angry. And we've got to be patient with them. We've got to be tender. We've got to be kind. That does not negate proper discipline, but that we still have to have that. We cannot be impatient and make flash decisions and flash movements and grab a child and you sit down there and that type of thing. We've got to be patient. We've got to be gentle with them. You know, working as a paramedic some years ago, I dealt with a child that died as a result of shaking baby syndrome, and that's the extreme, and we gotta be so gentle with children, patient with them, and when they've done something wrong, we've gotta sit down and get down to their level, and talk to them about what they just did, and you know whatever consequences have to happen. But be patient with them. So I think of an example, Saul's impatience, King Saul, in 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 through 13, we read about how Samuel was going to come and sacrifice. And it was the time when the Philistines were fighting against them, and Samuel was going to come on the seventh day. And well, lo and behold, he didn't come when Saul thought he was going to come. And so Saul was impatient. And he said, well, okay, fine. He says, the people are starting to wander away, starting to leave. I've got to keep the people together. So based on fear and his impatience, he went and sacrificed when he was not qualified to do it. Samuel was qualified to do it, but he was impatient, and so he went and did it. And that was one of the greatest marks against him, and the removal of his kingship. You got to be patient with people. When people don't keep their commitments, as in this case, Saul didn't think that Samuel was going to keep his commitment. This was God's way of testing him, is what it was. Samuel wasn't in the wrong here. It was God using us as a tool to test Saul, but he was impatient. We got to be patient with people. We got to be patient with those who have sinned against us. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Along with patience comes forgiveness. You think of Peter asking the Lord how many times he should forgive his brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. We have to have patience with those that they even sin against us. Just let it go. Let it go. I mean, there are certainly times when we might have to broach it with that individual. You know, it's maybe destructive. Maybe it's hurting our fellowship with that person. But we don't get angry. We don't get all bottled up inside. Got to have that little vent, just like a pressure cooker does. You know what happens to a pressure cooker if you don't have a vent on it, right? You got to let it out in a healthy way. Patient in prayer. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's easy to become impatient even in prayer, where you're praying and you're praying and you're praying for a situation or a person, and you're not seeing results, at least the results you expect to see. And that's where we have to endure in prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. There's a whole list of things in this chapter that are very practical to the Christian life. And we read in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I know that the focus on patience there is in tribulation, but right next to it is continuing instant in prayer. And continuing still is the concept of enduring, which is connected to patience. To continue in prayer, to be patient in prayer and say, okay, Lord, I'm leaving this in your hands. I'm bringing it before your throne of grace because I know that you want me to do that, but I'm leaving it to you to answer this prayer in the way that you would see fit. Patient in prayer. Patient with possessions. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Think of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. He had a picture hanging up in the interpreter's house. Two boys, Patience and Passion. Passion runs up and says, Father, give me all my goods right now. Father gives him his goods and he spends them all, but patience waits for the right time. And many people are governed by their appetites, you know, fleshly appetites. I'm not talking about necessarily at the table. That can be a problem too. But appetites for possessions, for different things that we want, we hoard to ourselves. And it's being impatient, wanting something that they shouldn't have. And maybe God's going to give them that item, but they're going ahead of God and they're seeking after it when they shouldn't have it, or at least not right then. There's a familiar proverb you might have heard before, a French proverb. It says, all good things come to him who can wait. All good things come to him who can wait. And of course, as a believer, we say, well, it's all within God's will. Yes, maybe it's not his will for me to have that Lamborghini. Maybe I won't get it ever. Every now and again, I'll point out a sports car, usually a convertible, and I say to Emily, now that could be made into a nice family car, wouldn't it? I mean, couldn't we somehow? Not likely. Patient with our possessions. It speaks of being satisfied. Where we're satisfied with what God has given us. We're not always looking for something else, because we know if you get that item that you want, it's not going to give you happiness. You might think that it will, and maybe it will for a couple days, but it's not going to give happiness, not going to give enduring happiness. So patient with our possessions, thankful for what we have, happy with what we have, satisfied with what we have. Patient for the Lord's return. Take a look at James chapter 5. This can be a challenge for some, particularly in our older years, as some call them the golden years. I've talked to a few folks that are in their golden years that would like to contest that term. But as we get into a senior year, sometimes some folks can have a hard time waiting. And I've talked to people, various people in the past that says, why hasn't God come for me? I think of one lady back in Saskatchewan, and if I remember from getting my account right, I believe she had said that, you know, I think God's forgotten about me. And, you know, it's sad to hear that. And we're supposed to be patient for the Lord's return, whether it be him returning and enrapturing the believer, as we read in Thessalonians, or taking us home in the way of passing away, whatever way God chooses. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And then, of course, that passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This is the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men, of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And then he speaks in verse 10 about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And so we look forward. In verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we ought not to become impatient with God's timing, for waiting for his return. We seek to be found faithful, to be working faithful, doing the things that he wants us to do, to live holy, tell people about him. What are some of the tools as far as obtaining and cultivating patience? Well, we have to seek after it. You think about the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. You think about in Proverbs how it talks about seeking after wisdom. You think of the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 14 says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Peace and patience are kinfolk. They're related. And we have to seek after patience. We can't just say, okay, well, let it fall on me. We have to say, okay, I'm going to seek it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to find out what do I need to do to obtain it. Well, one of the first steps is realizing that it's through God's power that we achieve it. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Verses 10 through 11. Colossians 1, 10 and 11. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 11, it speaks about being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, long-suffering has to do with endurance. Long-suffering being very close, closely related to patience. And it's in his power, his glorious power. And you know that his power is all-sufficient. he's got all of it to bestow. We just have to seek it. Gotta find my spot in my notes here again. Okay. So realize that it's through God's power that we achieve it. Again, remembering that point raised earlier, that we learn about patience in God's word, Romans 15:4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We get into God's word. We look at the patriarchs, those that were given us for examples. And we see, how did they find patience? How did they deal with situations? How did Abraham deal with Lot when Lot's herdsmen were going against Abraham's herdsmen? Who was the uncle here? Who was the nephew? How did he deal with that? And of course, we know that the scriptures are true, they're accurate, and they're unbiased. The Lord didn't just record the good things. He didn't just tell us all the good things about David and King Saul and others in Scripture. He laid it all out there. He told us the good and the bad. Now, sometimes the lost will look at those things and they'll say, well, look at this. The Bible condones these things. No, the Bible doesn't condone sin. Never does, but the Word of God will record certain things that happened that were sinful, so it's unbiased. So we look at those examples and we say, oh, okay, King David fell into sin here. We see some of the things that led up to that sin. Okay, I'm going to avoid that. King David showed some real Christian maturity in these points here. He was a man after God's own heart. I'm going to follow after that. We learn patience from God's word, not only anecdotally in the stories, the accounts in Scripture, but also in the doctrine that we read in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Another part about finding patience is fleeing sin. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4-11. There are certain things that have to be dealt with first before we can achieve fruit. You know, it's like, let's say you bought a piece of property, and there were peach trees on it, apple trees on it, that had been let go. They hadn't been pruned for years, and there's like a scrawny apple over here, a scrawny peach over there on the peach tree, and you said, you know what, I really want to make a go of this. These trees aren't done yet. I'm gonna prune this tree. I'm gonna cut off all the dead wood. I'm gonna take out areas that need to have some sun so that the sun can get down in there. It's not all enclosed in. And you're gonna hack away, you're gonna remove much of that wood. And then the following year, it's amazing the fruit that tree bears. Same thing with our Christian walk. We can't expect to just take spiritual vitamins and still have sin in our life and hope that, well, we'll produce some fruit. In order to develop patience, we have to flee sin. So 1 Timothy 6:4-11, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting. We're kind of jumping into the middle of a discussion here, but we'll carry on. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Notice, you have to flee sin first. Some of the sins that they talk about in this passage are those that are proud in verse 4, those that are doting about questions and strifes of words that are meaningless, evil surmisings, railings. We read about those that are pursuing they're pursuing gain, verse 5. Suppose that gain is godliness. We're supposed to withdraw ourselves from them. And it speaks about those that have the love of money, which is the root of all evil. So these are things that we're supposed to flee. We're supposed to run away from. And if we've got some of that dead wood in our life, we cut it off. And then we follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We've got to cut the dead wood off first. Emily's been taking an active interest in pruning some of our trees, because we know nothing about pruning fruit trees. And the old mindset was as many blossoms as you can get on a tree is the best. Then you learn, no, it's not. Not only is it not good for the branch, it starts to. But you got to trim some of those things off. You got to trim the dead wood. You got to trim off some of the areas in the center, so it's not all enclosed, and you get the sun in there. And at first I was looking at all the pruning Emily's done. I'm like, please, no more. leave it. Let's see how that works. But you got to prune off the dead wood. It's not a perfect illustration, because in real life you don't want to pluck blossoms, because blossoms in spiritual life would represent the beginnings of spiritual fruit. But the dead wood, you certainly want to trim out. Well, we'll leave it at that, and I'd like to ask you to ask yourself, first of all, have you trusted Christ? Have you put your faith in the suffering that Jesus Christ did on the cross? Have you seen yourself as a sinner? Have you recognized that your sin has separated you from God? Have you repented of being a sinner? Had that change of mind and heart, which leads to a change of direction? Have you then put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins? If you haven't done that yet, then the rest of this is Greek to you, so to speak. This pertains to the Christian life. And as believers, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, can you say, you know what? Yeah, I have the patience I should have. Or would you say, like me, I need more patience. I need to pursue this. I need to cultivate this more. I need to lob off some dead wood. Do we struggle in the area of having impatience towards people, towards possessions? Some of these areas that we looked at. Are you patient in prayer? Are you patient with finding God's will? Are you patient with people that have sinned against you, that have hurt you? Or do you get angry? And if you say, you know what, I do struggle in some of those areas, well, I'd encourage you to get with the Lord today and tell him, and to make a commitment with him that you'll seek to pursue after patience in those areas. Ask Brother Kuiper to come at this time with a closing song of invitation. You may come forward if the Lord has spoken to your heart, or you may meet with the Lord in your bench and speak to him about the area of patience.
Take your hymnals, turn to 328. We'll stand, we'll sing Close to Thee, 328.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, not for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee.
Father, we come before you and we thank you that Jesus Christ had the patience. Lord, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Now, we're thankful, Lord, that he's now raised up in glory, set down the right hand of the Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help each believer here today, Lord, to seek after patience. Lord, that we would be patient in speech, in our actions. Lord, that we would be willing to endure suffering patiently, knowing that it works experience and experience hope, as the scripture says. Lord, I pray that you be with each person here, Lord. Help each one of us to develop more fruit in that area. Lord, we ask that you be with our time of fellowship now, that you would draw us closer to each other and that we'd have a good time together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you're able to stay, because I know there's some good food. You probably can smell it already. There's my mom's famous sweet and sour meatballs and a few other things down there. I don't know what all else is down there, but... Yeah, there's Black Forest cake. Yeah, so hope you can stay.